Well, I am going to dive straight into the message this morning because it's the word of the Lord, and it's the most important word we can ever hear. And the word of the Lord, I'm going to start actually with a question from him. I want you to take this personally this morning. So this is a question from the Lord to you. And I'm going to read from the Amplified, Galatians 3, verses 2 and 3. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as the result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly, having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? That word cuts me. The Lord doesn't mince his words, does he? He's straight talking, and I thank God he's straight talking. I've sort of paraphrased the scripture, really. But take this and think about this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law or believing the gospel? Having begun with the Holy Spirit, are you now trying to perfect yourself by depending on the flesh? Now, when God asks us a question, he wants us to really think about that. Consider what he's asking there and answer it honestly. You can only answer for yourself. Don't answer for the person sitting next to you. Answer it for yourself. What do you say to that? Were you born again through your own efforts, your own good work or good works, or through hearing the gospel and believing it? The answer, in case you're not quite sure, is B. You were born again through believing the gospel, through hearing the gospel and believing it. The Holy Spirit made the truth of Jesus a reality in your heart. And you said yes. Jesus, I believe in you. I want you to come be my Lord, be my Savior. And you received a gift of faith and grace for salvation. Glory be to God. You'll know this scripture, but it's very good to look at it. Scripture says, Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're not saved by works. We were never saved by works. Never could be saved by works. We were saved by grace through faith. And it's very important you get those words the right way around. Grace saved you. The grace of God saved you. And grace is God's power. We're saved by God's power. It happens as soon as we believe and confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In that one moment, your eternal destiny was changed. You pass from death to life, Scripture says. Now, if the person sitting beside you is a Christian, I want you to confess that scripture to them. If they're not a Christian, I don't know all of you here. I'm pretty confident most of you are. If they're not a Christian, just say to them, that's the will of God for you. This is what he wants to do for you. But if they are a Christian, I think most of you are, speak that scripture to one another now. Okay. Now we can all say yes and amen to that, can't we? When we read that scripture, we say, yes, Lord, absolutely, amen, and thank you. We don't need convincing that grace saved us. We know in our heart of hearts we couldn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But from the moment we are saved, we're tempted to move from grace back to works. We're tempted to move from grace to works. It's like we say, thanks, Lord, for saving me. Good job. But I'll take it from here. I'll perfect myself. I'll do what I can. By myself, you'll be really impressed. Just you wait and see what I can do. Amazing. It's not a conscious thing, it's a subconscious thing. But absolutely it is a reality in all of our lives to a certain extent. Some more than others, but in all of our lives, I know for a fact, because flesh is flesh, there's a works mentality that goes on. We're tempted to try and work to deserve things from God that he wants to give us through his grace. Just by grace. Is God impressed by our works, our self-effort, self-dependence? No. He says, Galatians 3, verse 3, are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly, having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now trying to reach perfection by dependence on your flesh? This word needs to impact all of us. I am praying that this word will really reorientate my life. And I pray that it will reorientate your life as well. 2014, we've heard and we know it's a year of God's favor, which means it's a year of His grace. And His grace and His favor is expressed in the events that happen randomly. You know, we've just heard some great praise reports, answers to prayer, unexpected blessings, blessings at work, blessings in your home, blessings in your personal life. That's the favor of God. Absolutely, that's God expressing Himself in real ways in your life. But that isn't the only thing He wants. It's not the only thing He wants us to experience. He wants grace, if I can put it like this, to become the fuel of our lives. Not just kind of random one-off events, but actually the consistent fuel of our everyday life. The fuel that powers you. The supply that you depend on. It's not self-power, but God-power. It's the fuel that powers our lives. They're two opposing forces, self-power and God-power. Grace, it says, is the power of God. Self-effort is the power of self. I know it's obvious, but sometimes the obvious needs spelling out. Self-effort is the power of self. And at any point of any day, we can be operating in one or two of those forces. We're either operating by grace, the power of God, dependence on Him, or we're operating under our own steam, with the power of self. I have what I think is a really good example, and that's the example of the hybrid car. Just raise your hand if you know what a hybrid car is. Most of you. I have to say, since being married, David has introduced me to the joy of Top Gear, and I watch it on occasion. And I have to say, I'm not really that interested in the cars, but the banter sometimes between the three presenters can be quite amusing. Anyway, one thing I've learned is what a hybrid car is. A hybrid car, it has two power sources. They're normally electric or petrol. I think there's an opportunity for gas in some of them. I don't know. The mind boggles, but normally electric or petrol. Two power sources. The point is the driver can choose which power source. And in a sense, we are like hybrid cars. We have two power sources. We can operate by grace or we can operate by self-effort. The driver chooses. We choose. One leads to rest. The other leads to frustration and anxiety and exhaustion. When we see it in the light of day, it's an easy choice, isn't it? Of course, we want to operate by grace. The happiest, most blessed life operates by the grace of God, is fueled by the grace of God. So why don't we receive it? Why do we run on self-effort? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why? Why do I live the way I do at times? Pushing and being driven by self-effort, the desire to achieve and perform. That's the nature of flesh. It always wants to achieve and perform because flesh essentially wants the glory. It wants the credit. Our unrenewed mind tells us you need to work to earn things. The best person you can depend on is yourself. And we take this performance-driven attitude and even apply it to our relationship with God, our walk with God. So we read in the scriptures, the Lord wants us to be generous. Yeah, I can manage that, Lord. Kind, positive. Yes, I can manage that. Patient. Well, that's a stretch. Do you remember who I'm living with, who I'm working with? But yes, I can manage that. I'm sure I can manage that. And we can almost read the word and it becomes like this massive to-do list. I mean, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I want to be honest. Sometimes we can read the word and feel worse. Honestly. Because we take it as self-effort. And you're like a dog that's run uphill or been on a chill. You're panting. It's like, oh my, and that, and that, and that. Really? We forget about the grace of God. We cannot live this. I'm sure you've cottoned on by now. We cannot live it in our own strength. And yet still we try. And it's like plate spinning. Eventually something will crash. Challenge comes, and because we're so stressed, we snap. Don't we? If we're honest. You know, you might be having a good day, you're having a good pop at it, and you've been pretty spiritual from the first thing, and you get to 3 o'clock, and it's like, do you know what? That is a bridge too far. I am going to blow like Krakatoa. And you shout at your kids, and you kick the cat, and you're driving in your car, and you mumble some abuse at a driver, or you shout, depending on your personality, shout some abuse at another driver. You're aggressive or tearful when things go wrong, and it all gets too much. Self-effort, let me put it to you like this, self-effort leads to a whole lot of frustration. Self-effort leads to frustration. This morning, I want to identify some signs of being in the flesh, and frustration is one of them. I don't mean the kind of quick frustration that you get when you smash a glass or spill a drink. That's a kind of fleeting thing. I mean more of a deep-rooted frustration that's part of you and becomes the way you approach life and respond to life. Frustration is a sign that you've stopped receiving the grace of God. You've gone back to self-effort. You're depending on yourself to work things out and make things happen. The second sign or identification, really, of self-effort is stress and strife. Dis-ease. You know, when you're self-powered and you succeed, because at times you do, flesh can perform. If you're self-powered and you succeed, you congratulate yourself and your ego grows just a little bit more. If you're self-powered and you fail, you feel very sorry for yourself, but you determine to bolster yourself and try harder, don't you? Flesh always gets us to try that bit harder. Because flesh is proud, wants to conquer things itself, wants to do things its own way, take the glory, take the credit. And you might pretend to be humble. If you've been a Christian for a while, you know that actually that isn't it isn't the way you should be. And so you might pretend to be humble. You might dress it up with spiritual language. But essentially, God sees our hearts and he warns us and he tries to speak to us. Sometimes, sadly, the only way we learn is through failure. If we won't listen to the Lord, he will let us run our course. And sometimes it goes so far, people burn out. Things go wrong. There's strife on the outside and the inside. There's no rest in the flesh. So sometimes we're rebuking the devil, but actually it's God that's resisting us. I think that's a dreadful thought, being resisted by God. Finish this scripture with me. God resists the, but gives grace to the. Okay. And so in that situation, if things are going wrong, if everything's going wrong, I don't just mean one or two things, but if everything's going wrong, if you've got strife on the outside and the inside, if you're acutely frustrated, you need to ask yourself some serious questions. What are my priorities? Am I in the will of God? Am I depending on him, really? Or have I gone back to depending on myself, my own efforts? And they're uncomfortable questions, I know that. But if we answer them honestly and respond right, they're the questions that will save us, because they bring us back to him, our source. So self-effort, self-power leads to strife and stress. Look, one of the reasons we come to Christ in the first place is to escape strife and stress. Just raise your hands if that's you. I know I got saved because I just was sick of being flawed, really, by life and the devil. I wanted to escape strife and stress. But if we insist on living by our own resources, trying to make things happen by our own efforts, always the result is strife and stress. And I'd like to add to the list, number 3, worry. Isn't that true? Self-dependence is bound to lead to worry. If I'm responsible for everything, you know, or think I'm responsible for everything, inevitably, I am going to worry. And we worry about anything and everything, don't we? Really, the big things and the small things. Raising children, work, relationships, finances, health, the future, having a house, not having a house, cleaning the house. I mean, really, don't we? It comes down to that. things become a stress. And I have to say, life can just become a catalogue of worry, can't it? Or is it just me? Friday, I cleaned the house, and I was determined to do it by the grace of God. I thought, right, hybrid car, I've got this analogy in my head. I want to operate by the grace of God. I'm going to clean the house by the grace of God. And I must admit, I went about it with a very different approach. I was conscious of God with me. Throughout the day, I was just conscious of his presence with me. I chatted to him. I sang to the Lord. And I was reminded of that scripture in Colossians, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And I have to say, I got to the end of the day. The house was clean, but I had energy to spare. And I just thought, Lord, why am I so slow on getting this? This is how I need to live my life, in everything. Every job I have, everything, every task that's set before me, I need to approach it with, okay, Lord, your grace is sufficient. I'm going to tap into that and do it by faith. Okay? These things, look at the result of life in the flesh, works of the flesh, really. They all make us tired and miserable. And quite honestly, that little picture there, I have looked like that more often than I want to admit to, really. Have you? Come on. We need to switch power sources. I really believe this is the word of the Lord for every one of us. You need to switch power sources. You know, naturally you switch energy supplier, don't you? We need to go back to the grace of God. Just say to the person next to you, I need to go back to the grace of God. In Ephesians 3 in Ephesians 3 anyway, Paul is speaking about himself, and he said, I'm a minister according to the grace of God. And he describes the grace of God as the effective working of God's power. So the grace of God, if you're taking notes, the grace of God is the effective working of God's power. I know you've learned that grace is unearned favor, and it is. It absolutely is. But the way it works out in our lives is a power source. His favor becomes our power source, the effective working of his power. And how do you know it's effective? Because you benefit from it. You recognize it and you benefit from it. You can run and not grow weary. You can give and not be in lack. His grace is sufficient. His provision comes to you in whatever way. And it means you have more than enough. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus says, doesn't he? Let the weak say, I am strong. You know, when you feel weak, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you're the source. I want to tap into you and just receive your grace. And I choose to believe your grace is sufficient. Your power is actually made perfect in my weakness. God's supply of power is more than enough to meet your needs and my needs. If we depend on God naturally, you know, reasonably, when you should be weak or you should be faltering or you should be in lack, you find you're not. Really, if we depend on him, you kind of discover you're not. Sometimes it takes you a while to cotton on. Have you been like that? I've kind of gone through a day. I've had strength. I've had wisdom. I've had what I've needed for the day. And I kind of get to the end of it and I think about it. I think, well, it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's that hidden supply that meets our needs. Now, I'm going to use quite an inferior example, really, but hopefully an example that's helpful. Caffeine. When you're exhausted and you have a cup of coffee, 5-10 minutes later, don't you get a boost? You do. Physically, you feel like you can run around the block, or, you know, maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but you have energy to spare. It gives you a boost. That's how the grace of God works. Gives you a boost. Gives you energy. The grace of God gives us the ability to operate in the fruits of the Spirit. Patience. Grace of God helps us be patient, kind, gentle, self-control, all these things. Sometimes I look at myself and I just think, how did I respond like that in that situation? Grace of God. Naturally, I wouldn't. Naturally, I'd have responded very differently, but it's the grace of God. And as we depend on him, he works in our souls. Our minds, our will, and our emotions. He works in our circumstances. He works in the details of life, turning things for good as we depend on him. And the big question really is, how then do we access the grace of God? How, Lord, can I make this my lifestyle? How can I live like this? Remember the hybrid car? How do we switch over from self-power to God power? I hope you're asking that question. I hope you do want to know, because look, it will rescue you. The grace of God rescues us. The answer is very simple, and the answer is this: ask and believe. It's so simple. It can offend our natural minds, and it's so simple, often we miss it. Often we forget to even ask. A couple of weeks ago, I woke up with a headache, and it was kind of one of those headaches. It felt like I had a brace on my head. Do you know what I mean? Like a real tightness on my head. But it kind of came and went through the day. It wasn't like it was there all the time. It kind of came and went. And I had it all day, and I had it the second day. And by the afternoon of the second day, the thought occurred to me, why don't I ask for healing? Isn't that ridiculous, really? I'd put up with it. I think because it came and went, I'd kind of just tolerated it. And I know that sounds silly, but I didn't think to ask. And I think it can happen in life. We tolerate problems. We try and figure out how to solve them by ourselves, when Jesus simply says, ask and believe. Ask and believe. John 16, verse 24, he says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So simple. Ask and believe. God wants to do us good. He wants to show us his favor. His grace is available to meet any need. We just need to ask. And then as soon as we ask, like a reflex, we need to choose to believe. You know what a reflex is, don't you? One action starts off another. Smith Wigglesworth, he says something like, I know I'm not probably quoting this accurately, I just remember reading it in a book a while ago. To ask is to believe. Like the two activities should be connected. As soon as we ask, we should immediately engage our faith. Now, I have developed the habit, and I need to continue in this, that when I ask for grace, I immediately choose to believe that I receive it. Right there, right where I am, I ask for grace and I believe I receive it. It's like an electronic bank wire transfer. You know when you do a bank wire transfer? It's invisible, but it happens immediately. That's the grace of God. Transferred from heaven's account to my account. Immediately. So I just give thanks. It's in my account. I just give thanks now. His grace is available to me. I can approach this thing altogether differently because I've got his power available to draw on. Mark 11, 24, whatever things you ask for, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Faith and grace go together. When we believe, we receive. Believe and receive. It's so simple. So simple, believe and receive. Now, another way to describe faith is trust. Trusting God will do what he said he will do. We used to play a game at school, and I'm sure many of you will remember this. The trust game, where two people stand together and one person stands behind the other person. The person in front closes their eyes and falls back. Do you remember playing that? You'd only do it with somebody you really trusted because it's quite scary. And even when you did, you'd always have a quick look behind you to make sure that they were still there and hadn't got distracted, you know, gone off kicking a ball or something. We're going to have a little demonstration this morning. Let's give a big round of applause for James and Ruth. I chose quite a safe bet, to be honest. You'll be happy to know James will be catching Ruth. Now, Ruth, you trust James to catch you, don't you? Okay, right. So, go ahead. Let's do it. Let's have the first example then. One, two, three. Hey! Okay. Was that a little bit scary? So it was a little bit scary the first time. They're going to do it two times more for us. Okay, so when you're ready, in your own time. Well done. It is scary, isn't it? Okay. And again. Okay, thank you. Now, the fact is, the more you do it, I don't know how Ruth found that, but the more you do it, the kind of easier it gets, because you learn that you can trust the person, don't you? And it's like that with the Lord. The more we practice leaning back into him, the more we discover actually he catches us at our point of need. He's there for us. the grace is there for us when we lean back. And faith is trust. That's it. Faith is trusting. Simple as that. So the more we exercise our faith, the easier it gets. Now, I have got the most fantastic scripture for you. And it's from the Amplified Bible. It's Colossians 1 verse 4. Colossians 1 verse 4 in the Amplified says this. For we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on him in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness. Isn't that fantastic? I think I need to print that out and have it in every room of the house. The leaning of my entire human personality on him, trusting in his power, wisdom and goodness. Faith is the leaning of our entire selves, as we've seen from that demonstration, on him. And if you lean totally on him, he takes all the weight, doesn't he? You can walk around unburdened. If all the weight's on him, you're free. Free as a bird. Problems come your way, you roll them over. Trusting in his power, wisdom and goodness. I love those three ways of describing the Lord. Faith really is faith in God's goodness. Expecting a good outcome because God is good. I've rolled this over onto you, Lord. I'm leaning it back on you. I'm trusting in your power, wisdom and goodness to solve this. It's a wonderful picture. And it's really the way God wants us to live our lives. Leaning on him, letting him take the strain. Really, I know we've heard this message of grace many times, but I am praying that this will impact us in a different way this morning. His grace is sufficient for you. It is more than enough. It's there to meet you at your point of need, and we access it through trusting, simply trusting. Last night, we had an encounter meeting here, and it was the most tremendous. No, encounter was last Sunday night. Thursday was also tremendous. We're having tremendous meetings all the time. Grace of God. But Sunday night, the encounter meeting. As I drove to the encounter meeting, I saw this sign. If we could have it up on the screen. I saw that. We've all seen that many, many times, haven't we? Not the top bit, but there you go. The man at work with his shovel. And the Lord said to me, it's time to end your work. I heard it so clearly. It's time to end your work, your self-effort, your striving, your trying to make things happen. It's time to believe and receive my grace. It's time to live your life differently. It's time to tap into my power source. Now, I receive the grace of God. It's not that I live completely independently. I don't. I draw on the grace of God often and experience the grace of God. But I know God is saying to me, it's time for a shift. It's time, really, for a new way of doing life. And I got to the encounter meeting. And of those of you who are here will know, remember what it was on. But if you could turn in your Bibles. I've not got this on the screen because it's too long a scripture, but we're going to look at it together in the Word. Zechariah 4 and verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who's wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. You know, isn't it like that with the Lord? Sometimes you see things, it's just weird. It's like, Lord, I'm seeing, but I'm not understanding. Help me see. Help me understand what you're saying to me. Seven pipes to the seven lamps. Verse 3. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what on earth are these? What are these, my Lord? Verse 5, then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, human effort, not by power, striving, struggling, trying, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The olive trees brought the constant supply of oil to those seven lamps. Seven lamps, seven pipes, constantly receiving oil. Now you will know, I'm sure most of you will know, always oil in scripture is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So what this picture is talking about is a constant supply of the Holy Spirit. A constant supply of oil. And this is how he wants us to live our lives, with that constant supply of his Spirit living, not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. In other words, not self-power. Not self-effort. This is the most joyous word to me, really. God power. Grace. And I believe he's saying we need to need to change our entire approach to life. I can't stress this more, really. I wish I could stress it more. But really, I mean, a revolution. It's radical. It's radical what God is saying. And I really, truly believe this is the word of the Lord. It is radical because God himself is radical. And I know that many of you receive the grace of God. I don't want to undermine or ignore the grace that is already working in your lives. I know you believe and receive the grace of God, but I'm talking about a whole different dynamic going on where it becomes consistent, the grace of God, so consistent, like those olive trees, and you're just tapped in. It's a constant supply of his grace, more evident. We need him. Gosh, don't we need him? And so we need to humble ourselves. He gives grace to the humble. It's the way. You got to bow. If you think you can do it on your own, good luck trying, because you'll find out you can't. Humble ourselves. Ask, believe, and receive, like that electronic bank transfer. Transferred from his account to yours. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Immediate. It's an immediate transfer of power, grace to help in time of need. Now, if you remember that trust demonstration that James and Ruth kindly did for us, I want to ask you this question. What would happen if you leaned your entire self on him? Everything you are, everything you have, everything you're involved with, entirely on him. Your entire human personality and everything that makes you, you. Lean it entirely on him. Gave it over to him. Let him take the weight. Your marriage, your kids, your health, your work, your finances, your future, your walk with God even, your being fruitful, everything. Leaned it over onto him. Wouldn't that be liberating? Really liberating? You'd be light as a feather, free as a bird. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Holy Spirit's at work, there's liberty. Not frustration, not strife, not worry, liberty. Now, I don't mean that there'll be an end of opposition, because as we heard a couple of weeks ago, of course, there's always opposition in life. You'd have to depart this world to get out from opposition. There's always opposition, but it isn't on the inside. The strife and stress and strain isn't on the inside. Inside, we stay free, carefree, unburdened, at peace. Psalm 5:12 says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor or grace. Remember, they're interchangeable. You will surround him as with a shield. The favor of God or the grace of God acts like a shield in our lives. If you're receiving the supply of God's grace as you're going through your day, the arrows may well fly at you. Circumstances may be testing, but you stay protected. That grace is the shield. You stay calm because you're trusting God. You're leaning back onto him. So if weight comes on you, he takes it. Free from anxiety. He that is in me is greater. We were singing it earlier this morning. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. I forget the words. There's nobody like you. Something like that. But anyway, God is great. God is great. God, you are greater. This is coming at me, but God, you're greater. You can handle this. God, you're stronger. You are for me. Who can be against me? I made a quality decision at the start of this year that I wasn't going to live with stress. One of the best decisions I've ever made, apart from giving my life to Jesus. I wasn't going to live with stress on the inside. Because on the outside, for sure, it comes in various ways at various times. There's the hassle factor. But I wasn't going to live with stress on the inside. And the only way to deal with it is spiritually. You know, the Philippians 4, go, give him your requests. Hand it over to him and receive his peace to guard your heart and mind. And it's changing my days. Just doing the word, just doing what Jesus tells me to do, like Mary said to Jesus, said to the servants, just do what Jesus tells you to do. Just do that. Hand over. You cast your cares on him. He cares on you. He cares for you. Like the fisherman casting the line, cast them over. Cast them over onto him. Final scripture, please. I love this scripture in Hebrews. Really, I could just stay with the first verse, but Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 10. There therefore remains a rest for the people of God. There isn't a rest for people in the world. There isn't, because flesh, there's no rest in the flesh. But there's a rest for the people of God. For he who's entered his rest, the Lord's rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. We enter his rest by doing what Ruth did. Yeah. Trusting. Yeah. Just leaning back into him. Trusting him. Turning everything over to lean on him. And when that happens, we can stop working. Striving. Worrying, actually. If God's not at work, I have to work. You know, if that's my faith, if I'm not believing God's at work on my behalf, then I have to work to try and achieve what I need to achieve. But if God is at work, I can rest. I'm just trusting you, Lord. At the moment, it looks grim. At the moment, this is testing. At the moment, my emotions are kind of in turmoil, but I hand it over. You are God. You can sort this. I'm trusting you. I am confident that every one of us needs to hear that verse from Zechariah again. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord to you personally. Please take it personally this morning. It's the only way the word is ever effective, is if you take it personally. So I just want you to meditate on that for the moment. Read it to yourself as if it's God speaking to you, because it is. Put your name at the front, you know, David. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Just take that for a moment. And let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as a result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly? Having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by dependence on your flesh? If you're convicted by this morning, and if you know, at least to some extent, you've been depending on yourself, you've gone back to self-effort, depending on yourself to work things out and make things happen, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.